This is the Personnel Committee of the Pacifica National Board. And so the main agenda item for today, which we'll consider after we take roll, will be the evaluation of our Chief Financial Officer. And I will take roll until our secretary appears and take notes as well. Okay.
I'm doing the minutes.
Oh, are you? Okay.
Yeah, I'm starting them.
Okay, did you want to take roll then, or you want me to? I'll do
it. I'm not ready to do the roll
right this second. Okay. I am Lydia Brisson.
I have to type the names in.
Okay, I am the chair. And Chandra Houtman is here and is our acting note taker for the moment. Ambrose Lane.
Hello.
Hello.
Is this better?
Yeah. Ambrose Lane.
Yeah.
And Berthold Reimers.
Yeah.
Here, we're taking roll. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. And so absent is Evelyn Bethune and Lori Taguma. Okay. So, we will proceed. The main focus of this call is to finalize the process that we have covered before in previous meetings for an evaluation of the Chief Financial Officer. And Berthold has been wonderful about putting together the form. So we want to review the form and the process as well. So, does anybody want to help structure the agenda for covering everything? I think we should start with the form myself.
I have another agenda item.
Pardon?
I have another agenda item. It'll
okay.
be really fast.
Sure.
I would like to move to remove Lori. This is the fourth meeting in a row she's missed. And according to our bylaws, she was at the search committee meeting last, but she hasn't been to a personnel committee. And so I think it's only fair that we replace her because we need a working group. And, she doesn't have the time to be on the committee to do the work. It's a detriment to the rest of us. It's no reflection on her personally. It's just a detriment to the rest of the group because we can't function effectively since we never have a full group.
So that's your motion?
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay, well, I would like to see the attendance records because I thought she was at a... I didn't think it had been...
In fact,
I
asked her at the search committee because she attended the last search committee meeting,
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And I said, "Are you going to be coming to personnel? Because I don't want to do, I don't want to be the secretary for the both groups."
Mm-hmm.
And she said yes, but this is the fourth meeting, and she had missed three meetings previous to this one.
Okay, so can that be the last item on the agenda so that we can kind of get through these things we
sure.
need to do first, and then we can discuss it.
So the agenda is going to be CFO evaluation. That's
yes.
the first item?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I think the first item should be CFO, the form, survey
yes.
form.
Okay. Okay, so Berthold, why don't you bring us up to date since we're streaming publicly? And by the way, if there are any executive session types of comments that occur to us, we can always adjourn to an executive session at the end of the meeting. So just be really careful and keep it on the form and the process. And
okay.
Anyway, so go ahead.
Yeah. I think the CFO survey form has been going around, went to the PNB, went to the PNB Finance Committee. We've had some feedback, a lot of feedback. Actually, it's a good thing that it was revised very much and looks very different from the way it started. There were a lot of suggestions, reorganization, and maybe I would just read the first page, and then it will, you know, people will have an idea of what it is. It says basically the current CFO job description is provided in an addendum. The items to be evaluated in the survey would be supervision and management, including training of financial staff. That one section. The other section is budgeting and planning. The third section is monthly and quarterly reports. And the fourth section is asset management, including cash management, long-term assets, and investment. And basically, you rate how you see the CFO performing his job from 1, which is excellent, to 5, which is completely unsatisfactory, or 9, do not know. After that, we also added a section to that, which is personal information about the individual filling out the form, and is completely and totally, let me repeat that again, totally optional. Yes. yes. What is the reason for that? The reason for this is, I mean, we want to know the how people perceive the CFO. Not only the CFO, actually, really. This is the CFO's job. How, you know, as related to Pacifica, you know, what, you know, in people's concept and mind, what is the CFO's job? And we want to know if those people have been with Pacifica for a long time, a short time, medium time, which is 1 to 5 years, 6 to 10 years, or 11 more years. So because we want to know if those factors affect, you know, your perception of, you know, what should be and shouldn't be. Involving Pacifica governance, if they have been part of the movement and all that stuff. You know, if they're in a specific signal area, people may be worried about putting that because they might think that might identify who they are, but the bottom line is that this whole survey is totally confidential, just like the survey we did for the ED. But so we might give you an idea of what area has issues with maybe supervision and management versus budgeting and planning versus asset cash management. You know, because the CFO might be doing a great job, or it might be perceived that there's a great job being done in that area, in that region, and not in another region. And it might be perception, or they might be actual facts or reality. So we need to kind of have an idea. And the age group of people under 29 or under 30 to 39, 40 to 49, 50 to 59, and 60 or over, and age and sex. And the last question is asking about racial background. You know, people can put whatever they want. You know, I can put, maybe for myself, I'd like to put Haitian, American, Black, things like that, West Indian. People might put whatever they want, you know, which will give an idea of the composition, you know, and how people perceive themselves as being. So that was one of the things that we had a hard time thinking about and having a hard time actually even wanting to put in here, because we know how sensitive these issues are to the Pacifica community. So now, my question is, do we want to go over that right now and see if there's any discussion about that, and then okay, and then move on to the next session, supervision and management, and budgeting and planning, and then monthly, quarterly, like look at them in section so that we can get rid of one session and say, oh, this session is okay. Or do we want to just go over it, and then if people have objection, then we'll bring the objection and just say, okay.
Well, what do you need, a motion to approve this page?
Well, I wanted to have the discussion to keep us away from the motion, and so we have loose idea about what's going on. And then after we make all our decision and change in our meeting of the mind, we can say, okay, let's move to boom.
We had never discussed this portion, Ambrose. This mm-hmm. this little survey was inserted by Bertold, and so we haven't had a meeting since it was inserted. So it should at least be addressed.
I think it's well done.
Go ahead, Ambrose. Go ahead.
My only problem has to do with the rating. You usually put excellent for the highest, and this is the lowest.
Okay.
Excellent number one is excellent.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Uh huh. I agree with that. We went back and forth on it. Before it was the other way, and then it was that way. And the question is, will it influence one way or another, or will get people confused? So if you feel that it will get people confused, we can change the order.
Yeah, that's what I thought.
Okay, so we'll change that order.
Yeah.
Is there any objection to that? That instead of putting one excellent, we put one completely unsatisfactory? Two would be somewhat satisfactory?
Well, yeah, but I think that you should... Yeah. Wait. No, I think that you should leave the order of the wording so that the first item would be excellent is five.
Right.
And then very unsatisfactory is four.
Oh, okay, so we'll just change from five to one?
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Change from one to five.
Just flip them around.
Yeah.
Okay. But so in the survey, when it goes from 1 to 9 still, right?
But in the same order. The words are in the same order, but the numbers change.
Okay. Yeah. All right. Okay, so it goes from 1 to 5. There's no objection, right, to that one, Chandra?
We go from 5 to 1.
So what I put is change rating orders so that number 1 is unsatisfactory and 5 is excellent?
No.
That's it.
That excellent is five, but in the
order. That's what I just said.
Yeah.
Right, but the order stays. So the list starts with five as excellent.
Yeah, 5 to 1.
Okay.
And keep 9. Don't know.
Yes, keep 9. Don't know. Okay. So, but in the survey itself, like budgeting and planning, prepare the annual budget. I have 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 9. Should I change that order also?
Well, it should be consistent.
Yeah, it has to be consistent.
So it should be 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, 9, right?
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay,
right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, and 9. Okay.
Right.
Well, why is it 9 and not 6? Or
because it's so that it's totally out of the range.
No, it's out of range.
Yeah, because it's don't know. It's like
right.
Not even part of the rating.
Okay.
Yeah.
That makes sense.
Okay.
Okay. I'm still ambiguous about the survey with gender and racial background. I mean, although I really favor surveys of this sort, I don't know how appropriate it is within the context of a performance evaluation. I think we can include it and then have the PMB have a discussion on it. I'm
so you have strong with a lead, strong reservation.
Yeah, I have reservation.
You mean the gender and race? How about the other stuff?
The other stuff I'm not concerned about.
So it's gender and race, the last two.
Well, for me, those are. I mean, I'd have to. Figure out what is the purpose of that within the context of someone's performance.
Well, you know, let me be blunt. There are always those assumptions that you know there are disparities in perception in race, how the network perform. You know how someone a minority sees it might be very different from. Caucasian person, and so we want to see first of all, you know, if that's a factor. If that's a factor in the evaluation of the CFO, which that should be taken into consideration. And you know, like for example, if all the green people say he's great, and all the red people say he is bad, you know, so obviously, you know, that's something that needs to be looked at. Because that's obviously perception to a certain extent, and not his performance.
Mm-hmm.
And then that you should be able to say, okay, you know, there's a bias here.
Okay.
You know, and so you know, statistically, that's you know, to me, that makes sense. It makes sense.
Okay,
you know?
Then the only my only other recommendation is that that might be somehow sent in as a separate loose sheet, or and the reason I say that is, let's take myself, although I don't care about my confidentiality on my evaluation
mm-hmm.
form, but if PMB Latina, right, that really narrows it down as to who filled out that evaluation.
Yeah,
so,
from KPF, whatever.
Okay.
Yeah, let's
okay.
Say, when you send out the form to the PMB.
Especially if, say, the short PMB Latina from KPFK.
Exactly.
I must admit that to me is also a concern. If there were like a lot more people filling out the survey, then it would be you know, no issue. But yeah, it is to me a little bit of a concern. Even though we might, it's confidential, people may want to say, well, you know. So you know, but another thing we can do is I can be directed to say exactly how much should I break it down. I might say the Latinos from, in other words, when we break it by gender and race, don't put LSB, PNB, National Office or whatever, just mix it up.
If you have a separate sheet survey and you say don't attach it to the evaluation, then that would go in a totally separate, you know, anonymous pile that has no other link to that particular evaluation. Do you see what I'm saying? Am I making sense?
But that defeats the purpose, because then he doesn't tell you how that affects it. You know, I think the best thing to would be is to give me some specific direction, or the person who is doing the percentage, whatever, that, you know, when you are breaking it down by race and gender, you cannot break it down by specific. Maybe when you break it down by race and gender, you should not break it down by signal areas, and you should not break it down. Break it down by.
If I could get a word in, I would make a suggestion. My suggestion is that the evaluation and the survey form go out together, but that the survey form is separate, and the instructions indicate that you mail them separately.
Yeah, that's what I was saying. That was
recommendation. And that would be, you know, and of course they could both be anonymous, but we would want to know if the survey participant is from a particular signal area, and if they're a PNB or an LSB or a staff person.
Okay.
So
you would separate that.
Classify. We need to be able to classify in that regard, and was on the prior evaluation, they put their name on the outside envelope and then it was checked off so that it was determined if they did duplication or not. Is that how it went?
Yes, but then we had the unidentified one. And then some people didn't want it. We left it up to the PMB as to whether they wanted to factor those figures in. So to avoid that, I would recommend, which Bertil, we were discussing this a little bit earlier, is that we have, like, if it all depends on our capabilities, given that we don't have an HR director to do this, and we haven't identified whether we can hire a temp to do this, which would be to individually send out the form so that the pages of the evaluation indicate LSB 1, you know, you'd number 1 to 24. And you would have, you know, KPFK LSB or KPFA LSB, because that information, which is kind of survey-like, would also give us an indication as to whether it's just one particular LSB that has a particular problem or favoritism, whichever way it goes.
Oh, yeah.
Toward,
we have to find out which area it's coming from.
Right.
And previously we found a different way to do it, and that was fine.
But what I'm saying is that what isn't fine is to just leave it up to the person to put their return address, because some people didn't do that. And even if we put it in the instructions, they may still forget. And we don't just want blank evaluation forms where multiple copies from one person could be sent in.
Mm-hmm.
And hi, Evelyn. We're discussing the form right now and how to return it and how to identify the form.
I think that we have to put some identifying kind of mark on it because many people will return them without because they don't want anybody to know.
Yeah.
Is it going to be done by email or by mail?
They were sent out previously by email.
By email,
right?
Attached.
And then emailed back. And I'm sorry, mailed back. Mail.
And hard snail mailed back.
Right.
I just sent Greg an email, and I asked him if Pacifica would be willing to hire a temp HR person to help us conduct the CFO evaluation.
It's like the person was hired by Yolanda, right? Could you the same
person?
Well,
that was just a typist, wasn't it?
Did she have
somebody else?
Yeah, Yolanda actually numbered the forms according to a key that she devised that only she had.
Right.
And so she numbered according to the return address on the envelopes. But as we discovered, some people did not put their return address on the envelope, so we had to have it as a separate category on our summary, as you'll recall. And so as to avoid that and so that there aren't duplicated forms sent in, I am recommending that when they receive it, they would receive LSB1 or LSB2 or, KPFK, LSB1. So it would be numbered 1 through 24,
right.
And the HR person would have the key.
Right.
And that way, she can't get returned back in snail mail 3 LSB3s, for example, right? It would avoid that kind of replication. On the other hand, I don't know if people are going to be nervous about that not being anonymous enough. So it's open to discussion.
Mm-hmm.
But I still think it's valuable.
Well, I don't think it's really necessary to... because by numbering like that, the only thing that you know is that it came from an LSB or a PN. You don't know...
Hello?
No? Hello?
Yeah. But on here.
Did Lydia lose her call?
You're here, Lydia?
Yeah. Oh, go ahead.
We're all here.
Yeah, we can hear you.
Oh, okay. It just sounded like someone had dropped out or something strange just happened.
Yeah.
Well, all I was saying was, it would seem that would allow us to know the organizational part, but not the person. So it shouldn't be a problem. Because even if we know the LSC, we don't know who in the
LSC. I'm actually against all that, and anonymity stuff. The way it should work is, I am going to send my survey to snail mail, and the envelope is going to say Bertha Reimers. But the survey itself has nothing on it.
Right.
And when the person, whoever it is, at the national office receives it, and they're going to check my name off, and on the survey that's inside the envelope, they're going to put PNB. And if it's the first one they receive, it's going to be PNB1. If it's the fifth one they receive, it's PNB5. The envelope is separated, put to the left, and then the survey is put to the right. So there has to be two people in there doing that, whatever mail they receive. They cannot open any of them until a specific time and place where all of the one or two, three people there at the same time, and they're going to open those, and they're going to put the survey to the left or to the right, and then the envelope to the left. And then by the receiving the envelope is when they check that this is received from Bertha Reimers.
Well,
I think that's why
it would be the same way that we do the election ballots.
Yeah, like Yolanda did. I think that's the way Yolanda did it.
Yeah.
You know?
But I prefer the two-envelope method, where the inside envelope is blank, holds the survey, and the outside envelope has the identifying information.
Yeah, but, that's when you're sending it to a person and you're asking them to mail it back. But if you're emailing it to them, they're printing it, You just put it inside an envelope, and then they put their address, and they mail it. You know, I mean, the empty envelope inside of it, I don't know exactly what would be the purpose, because you still have to open that up and to mark on that survey PNB5, LSB17, and mark off the name of that person that just put received from Bertol Reimers, received from Ambrose Lane. You just check it off. That way, if you receive another one from Bertol Reimers, say, well, we have one already, we're not going to take that one. That's how it works. If Bertol Reimers is checked off already, then you cannot take that one. So the envelope that comes with the survey has to have the person's return address. The survey is blank. You know, it is definitely the. I'm trying to be too absolute here, but that's definitely the only way.
Okay, so we need to add that to the instructions.
Yes. We just say mail.
I'm looking for the instruction list here. I think we have a cover.
We have a cover letter. Well, actually, the cover letter is it's kind of the instruction.
It's kind of the instruction, but it doesn't have that in there.
Uh-huh.
And the other thing in the cover letter, as long as we're there, is that it says print the attached survey, and then it says complete the two pages of survey items. And I think there needs to be a distinction between the survey that is optional and the evaluation. So the wording needs to be consistent. So the survey, in fact, in that section one, information about you optional, I think it should say the word survey in there.
Uh-huh.
So, and I would support Sandra's recommendation that that sheet be a separate sheet that is independently sent in.
Okay.
And that the
okay.
other the wording on your cover sheet says evaluation items, so that all that is worked out, and the envelope.
It is a separate sheet. The information about you. The survey is page 2, 3, and 4. The first page is all the instruction and the information about you. That can be snatched off. And the survey, the 2, 3, and 4 can be all by themselves.
Right, but then you either say clip that out separately or something, because you do have information all about, you know, the rating and all of that. So you don't want you don't want them together is the only thing. So however you want to identify
okay,
that.
Okay, so information about you would be one separate page.
One separate page or cut or, you know, the perforated little line where you can cut it off and send it in.
One separate page.
Okay, whichever.
Yeah, you know, so, you know, one separate page. So that would be page 2 of 5. 1 of 5.
And then it needs to say, do not attach to the evaluation. It, and then, you know, put it, that will be computed separately.
Okay.
Something like that, don't you think, Chandra?
Okay.
I'm sorry, repeat that.
We're talking about having the survey as a separate sheet, as recommended, right?
Right.
And specify above it, you know, somewhere, do not attach to the evaluation when you return it. Like, do not staple to your evaluation or something.
Okay,
well, I'm suggesting it be mailed back in a separate envelope.
Oh. Have two people, have them do two envelopes?
Yeah. Yeah. That will ensure anonymity and also encourage people to return it.
So how are we going to know if that person is
going to... Excuse me, I'm being interrupted.
Sorry.
If they have to mail it together, they're not going to participate.
Okay.
Because they're going to be afraid that their identifying information is going to be included with their survey.
Okay.
This is my thinking.
Okay. I can go along with that.
Ambrose. Mr. Lane.
What
do you think about that?
We'll simply do it like we did the ED evaluation.
Like the
ED? That's where we did the ED evaluation. They're used to that.
Okay.
Although I think your way is much simpler.
Okay, so like the ED.
Yeah.
All right. So, okay, move on.
Let me ask you a question.
I noticed
this is going to 2006 P&D members, LSD members and treasurers. Why is it going to LSD members? Shouldn't it be going to LSD treasurers, station general managers and business managers, and all national staff members? Why is it going to LSD members? They had no real contact with the CFO.
Well, the thinking for the previous meetings were that to remain consistent with the ED valuation, the same can be true of said about the ED, and we did include LSB members
as
one.
But the ED has specific responsibilities.
Well, the only thing is also that the LSBs are the ones that approve the local budget, and so they do have an opinion about the CFO with regard to that. You'll recall when you were IED and KPFK asked you to come down, and that was over, you know, budgetary issues, so you and the CFO. So I think that was basically the thinking that the bylaws charge the LSBs to approve a budget. So that whole process does involve the CFO, actually more directly than with the ED.
There's another issue related to that, and the other issue is the fact that per the bylaws, the CFO is supposed to report and be available to consult with the LSBs as well as the PNB on budget.
Mm-hmm. See, I think what Ambrose is basically saying is that it's very likely that most LSB members would not have an idea about what the CFO is doing, just like they would not have an idea about what the ED was doing. But the question, I mean, for me, it's hopefully in the future, in the bright future after this, two, three years from now, there might be a way to weight, how those different groups interact with the CFO and ED, and weight. For example, like the treasurers and the finance, national finance committee, they should have a higher weight on the total points of those things. But I think it would be too complicated in this time around. We'll just kind of look at the results and figure out what's going on. But, I kind of understand where Ambrose is going with that.
One other thing that I noticed that was missing from the cover sheet is that when we did the ED evaluation, it was listed there, which I think is really useful, as to who was being queried. It's useful also for historical purposes.
but we should
list on there that it's the LSBs and the treasurers and the finance staff and so forth, so that also the person who's sending out doesn't miss the category. Oh, I see. You have it at the top. I'm sorry.
Yeah, if you see the first page,
yeah, I see.
2006 PNB members.
I see it. Yeah. And then somewhere we need the actual dates of evaluation, which I also don't see, which is January 1 of 06 to December 1 of 06.
Okay.
Excuse me. I have to get off the phone for a second.
Sure. Okay.
Okay.
Oh, wait. Never mind.
Okay.
January 1, 06 to what?
December 1, 06. And that's because by the first week of December, at the beginning of December, the new board is seated.
Yeah. Okay. All right. So
what we did with Greg.
Okay. I just didn't know that date. I just had to leave that out.
Exactly.
So we have to put that, personnel committee. And one thing I wanted to have clear
mind. I missed that because someone was coming into my house. Could you repeat what was just agreed to?
Right. Including in that cover sheet the period, and I think on the form itself, the evaluation form itself, the period of January 1st, 06 through 12-1-06. That was consistent with the ED evaluation. Also, in terms of, thank you, Lydia Brazon, Chair, I actually think it should be thank you, PMB Personnel Committee, because we're all doing it.
Yes, my cousin. It's okay.
Well, I can make it official.
Hang on a second.
Yeah.
Barry Zimmerman is my cousin. Okay, so we're going to put what else on the front besides the dates?
That's it. Really, I wanted to remove her name as chair and just put PNB Personnel Committee instead.
Okay.
Just leave that.
Yeah, and I don't even know what the last one was signed. It might have just been the PNB. I don't know. I don't recall. Evelyn, do you recall?
I'm trying to think of it now. Maybe I can have. Maybe I have.
Well, we can refer back to that. That's very minor.
I have a question.
Mm-hmm.
It was under the committee, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
2006 PNB members, LSB members, right? So when I fill out the form, Berto Ramos would say I was an LSB member, right? In 2006,
yep.
From that period, okay.
Yep.
So we may want to make that very clear because people might get confused in that. So maybe I'll write another sentence in here that says that clearly.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then
put the time period involved.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay, is there anything else? And before we get into the job description, is there anything else? The form itself, I think, is done. I think it's really good.
Yep.
It's excellent, Berthold, because you did it, and I'm very impressive.
I think there was a lot of feedback on that one.
Yeah, it was an excellent
template.
You did
the yeoman's work.
Exactly.
Right.
Thank
and you get all the
very,
kudos.
Very yeah, absolutely.
So, for the form, right, the last page would be the comment. You know, we should strongly encourage them to type it, because if they do type it, then we don't have to worry.
So that should be added in the instructions, no?
Yes.
Or maybe put it at the top of that comments page. Or both.
Yes.
And we should do it. And we should
comment.
Do it in boldface, large lettering.
It is. It is in bold. Black. It's in black in here.
Okay.
Please
I think we should
comment.
Put it in bold place.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay.
Okay.
Okay. Just do it in bold. Right. Type the comment. Okay. And I'm going to put it in as many places as possible. The first page, 2006 PNB members. Somewhere in there, say type the comment. And then in the instruction sheet, when we talk about excellent and satisfactory, somewhere around there also type your comments.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so that way, you know, they know. We don't have to hire somebody to do that.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Okay. So I move that we accept the survey as amended.
Okay.
When
you sent the CFO job description, did you plan to include that in the evaluation?
Yes.
Okay.
The survey is one thing. Now once we do this, we can move to those issues.
Yeah. Okay. Does everyone agree that we've done everything with the process and the survey? Then we can get on into the job description.
That I can think of.
Okay. So once I make the changes, I'm going to send them to the group so that we can verify that those two pages have the things that they should, that we all agreed on.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, and then so that you can confirm this is it.
Okay. Now,
Before we go, there was a motion. Do we need a motion on this? Because if we do,
I made a motion.
Record it.
Okay. What was your motion?
I move that we accept the survey as amended by the group.
It doesn't need a second, does it?
No.
Ambrose
it's seconded committee.
It.
No, yeah, it doesn't need a second in committee.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so, Chandra, you want to take the vote?
Okay,
is
there any objection?
Objection.
No objection.
Okay.
So that takes care of the form. Now, in terms of the job description.
I would suggest, can we do the job description last? There's another piece, which is the CFO self-assessment that we are going to send also to everyone so that they can have an idea what the CFO thinks of his job and what he has done.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. So is there any issues, problem with that? I sent an email saying what I thought it did and then how I thought it could evolve, but I think that was pretty okay for now so that people can have an idea.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Well,
you know,
it's just his, as long as it's really clear, that's just his personal assessment.
That's his personal assessment of how he sees what he did.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I mean, I don't see how we can edit that. So.
Okay. I asked him if he had any final thoughts on it to finish it up, and he didn't answer me. So I move that we accept that as
okay.
Piece of.
I sent him an email that said if he didn't answer it, we would take it as the final. And he didn't.
Yeah, that's what I learned from my job. If you don't answer, then you okayed it. No answer, okay, it's okay.
Yeah.
Okay. So I move that we accept that as a piece of document that will be sent to people being surveyed.
Yeah.
Excellent.
Okay.
So everybody, so your motion is that to forward the self-assessment to anyone who is eligible to participate in the survey.
Survey, yes.
Yep.
Okay.
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 So now,
Lydia, we have to vote on this. Any objections?
Yes. Is there any objection? No. Seeing no objection, motion passes.
Okay. Then we can report this out to the board.
From the eighth. Yes.
Yes, because then they have to approve all this.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, moving on to then the CFO job description, we have two. The one that was I believe the one prior to the bylaws changes, that was his job description at the time that he was hired. We have the one that the HR director sent, which I sent today. Now, and we know what some of the structural differences are in the two, but I don't see how they relate to the evaluation as to whether to debate it on this committee and at this time myself. And I think if we cannot come to a resolution, we are always safe using the job description identified in the bylaws. So that's my thinking. But go ahead, everyone can start. Anyone?
And when was the other one developed? And the other one was forwarded by the HR person?
I don't know who developed it. That's the one that I sent out today. I hope everybody got it several hours ago. That was
that
from
the same one that the chief financial officer, regular full-time, national office.
Well, there was one that Bertol had sent out with the evaluation, and that is not the same one that Yolanda sent out in January of this year.
Okay.
January 3rd, 2007.
Yes, she sent out the CFO evaluation, the ED evaluation, which was passed last June, and the...
And when that, the one that Yolanda sent out, when that was brought to the PMB, there was a discussion, and Ambrose said for us to look in the red book, because the one that he was hired under was in there. You remember that, Ambrose?
Sure.
And it's there, and I sent that. I've sent it twice. I sent it in February, and I just sent it to everybody again.
Okay. All I am saying is that what Yolanda sent out as the job description, and I don't know, you know, the problem with all of this, and I don't see what we have to be really clear about is how that alters the evaluation itself. I don't see in the area where we differ. I don't see a question in the evaluation that has anyone commenting on that. So I don't think that we are charged with this. This has already been taken to the PMB level, and I also sent out the executive session minutes, which we won't discuss exactly what that is, but it didn't, except to say it didn't alter anything. And I've sent that out to everybody on the committee today as well. And what was very frustrating with the research is that nothing, like if you have an attachment
And it's not dated, even though, because people assume, oh, well, you're linking it to your email, but there's nothing on the attachment document with a date on it. It was very difficult. So, but I did track down minutes, or the one email from Yolanda, and the minutes from the January executive session. And those are in everybody's email. And if we want to discuss that further, we can go into executive session after this meeting adjourns.
No, can I say something?
Personally, I think that whatever the HR director has on file.
Yeah. Can I go and start here?
Well,
yes,
there's a problem. Let me tell you what the problem is. The problem is that in June of last year, the executive director submitted a revised job description for himself. And I made the motion to accept that job description, and it was approved. That job description said that he was not in charge of the finance staff, that the finance staff was under the direction and control of the CFO.
Mm-hmm.
The board approved that.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly, but that job description was also sent today. I know that. Okay, I'm just responding to Ambrose. That job description was also sent out today, but I want us to just clarify how specifically that particular item addresses anything in the evaluation. There is nothing specific to that, so.
Exactly. This is what I wanted to say. I kind of, in a way, support Lydia's point here, and that is, if we want to put a disclaimer, whatever, that the bottom line here is the duties of the CFO. I think they are basically the same in all the job descriptions, and maybe if we want to extract the duties and forget about the job description and say, these are the duties from the job description, and just copy and paste them and then present them to the PNB, because the duties are the same, basically. You know, as a matter of fact, some of them were added by Lonnie and the ED, this one or the previous one, as they were doing more work. You know, so like the task of the CFO and who he reports to or who reports to him could be two different things. Who reports to him is very, I think, is very clear, and there are no issues about that, you know, the finance staff and so forth and so on. And so I think from what Lydia is saying, those issues as related to the specific evaluation of him are pretty clear for us, personnel committee. Now, the PNB can go and do whatever it wants.
May I ask a question?
Uh-huh.
Good. If it says that he's provide financial leadership to the professional financial staff, or it gives specific things that, not just who reports to him, but specific things that are supposed to, that he's supposed to do as it relates to that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I see where you're coming from, but you know what, like the survey kind of took a lot of that, for example, when part of the survey, when you have there's budget and planning, reporting and internal control, asset management, supervision and management, right? And it's under supervision and management, and then provide financial leadership. That's a general term in the survey. It has direct overall financial and accounting functions overall, develop and maintain sound financial practices, closes monthly books timely and accurately, coordinate activities of Pacific and local stations finance personnel in accordance with legal and GAAP. I mean, as a matter of fact, it seems like we don't even need to put the job description anymore. I mean, because we extrapolated all those duties and put them in the survey.
That was my thinking, is that in order to avoid a long, protracted discussion about which is which, even though I do have what Yolanda sent out, which differs from what Bertolt sent out, is that we should, the one thing that we know we are legally bound by are the bylaws. And that description in the bylaws reads, the chief financial officer shall keep and maintain or cause to be kept and maintained adequate and correct books and records of accounts of the properties and business transactions of the foundation, including accounts of its assets, liabilities, receipts, disbursements, gains, losses, capital, and retained earnings. The books of account shall be open at all reasonable time to inspection by any director upon demand. The chief financial officer shall cause to be deposited all monies and other valuables in the name and to the credit of the foundation with such depositories as may be designated by the board. He shall cause the funds of the foundation to be dispersed as he may be properly directed from time to time, shall render to the executive director and the board an account of all of his or her transactions as chief financial officer and of the financial conditions of the foundation whenever requested, and shall have other such powers and perform such other duties as may be prescribed by the board or the bylaws.
Let's stick to the bylaws.
That is absolutely indisputable, and I think it covers everything that we would be evaluating at this juncture.
I totally agree with you, Madam Chair.
Okay, anybody else have any
other
thoughts?
I don't agree, but I'll go with the group.
Okay, well, okay. Chandra? Chandra?
I have concerns, but I don't want to delay this going forward.
Okay.
Can I ask a question, Chandra?
I can't add. It was an executive session, so I guess the minutes were an executive session.
Are we
going to
discuss
this
again in executive session?
Yes, I think we should.
Yeah, you know, and I think the PNB should make the final decision. So we should probably. I move that we present to the PNB that they decide to choose either that description from the bylaws or whatever it is that they decide is the most updated and accurate, whatever it is, job description as of right now. Does that make sense?
You can make whatever motion you have. I would prefer. I mean, we have to think about what our PNB meeting is on Friday. So, you know, we need to like streamline it for them. I would like the recommendation from the committee to be that we use the bylaws job description.
Okay.
That would just be my personal preference, but, I mean, we're a committee, so everybody should say.
The problem that I'm having with that is that he does so much more than what that says.
But it's defined in the evaluation, I think.
Excuse me, Lydia.
Okay, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
He does more than that because he manages personnel. He doesn't just make sure the books get opened and closed and that money gets deposited. It goes beyond that, and that description does not cover many of the tasks that Lonnie does. And if we're going to evaluate him, you know, we were very specific in putting, how we want to do this, and a lot of time was spent putting the document together for the evaluation. And, you know, I just want us to make sure that we cover the duties and responsibilities. Even Lonnie lays out more than that in terms of what his responsibilities and his duties are. And I really think that, you know, what the bylaw says is very limited in the scope of what he covers.
Okay, I see.
Well, I mean, I agree. It's not a job description as such as, you know, a complete job description.
But if we're evaluating him, we're evaluating him on what he does every day, right?
Exactly. But it is, unless you can find something that he does that is not covered in the evaluation form itself, because that's what counts, are the questions that you incorporate into the evaluation. To me, the evaluation defines what he does. Is if there's something missing, we've had a lot of time to incorporate those.
How about this? If we give the bylaws his basic responsibilities, but it goes beyond that, and it has evolved, at the initiative of the CFO, the ED, and the board, and as the foundation has grown. But these were the basic premise from which it has evolved. Something like that, you know, and then we can leave it open. And then that would have nothing to do with what the board would eventually want to decide is the official job description. So we want to keep that separate so that we can go ahead with the evaluation. That's probably what's going on here.
Were we asked to give a job description? Or were we to develop this evaluation?
We were just supposed to develop the evaluation process. It's up to us what we put in the package.
We did provide a job description for the ED evaluation.
Yes, exactly. I mean,
yeah.
A different form. I agree. I'm not saying we shouldn't have one, but I'm saying that there are differences between this evaluation and the process than the ED. I would like to be as consistent as possible, but hopefully each evaluation evolves somewhat. But.
Yeah.
Anyway,
we've gone beyond the job description in this evaluation. What we've done is broken up the functions. You won't find all these things in a job description for a CFO. You've got 30 different items in this evaluation, and what has happened is you've broken them down from the job description and from the necessities of that job. So you've gone beyond the job description already.
Okay, so let me ask, does everybody here concur that the evaluation form covers all the tasks, including those that have evolved since the bylaws job description was developed?
Yes.
I agree with that, yes.
Already
does everybody agree?
Yes.
So then let's not include a job description.
Thank you.
Okay.
Second. We've gone beyond.
And then we don't have to deal with the issue.
Yeah. Right. We avoid the issue.
At this point. I mean, at some point.
Do we need a motion to that effect?
I think
no,
so.
No, just don't.
Please.
We should have a motion in order to record it, yes.
Yeah.
We've already had two motions.
Okay, so I move to not include the job description with the evaluation.
Okay. Any opposition?
That raises a red flag. We've already had two resolutions by Bertho regarding this plan, and that's all we want to do is give them a plan.
Uh-huh.
Right. Okay. So is there any objection
Let's just leave it.
Right. So no one objects to not having a job description, right?
No objection.
Okay.
Okay. So it's out of there. Good.
Okay.
So the job description is out. Let me just quickly say the survey is in. The self-assessment is in. That's two. The job description is out. The cover letter is in, and then we'll, you know, kind of review it. Now, the only thing that is at issue here right now is the mapping of the entire process of evaluation. And I'd like to run through that because I think it might be controversial, but I want to give some ideas and suggestion and see if we can rush this.
We have seven minutes, Bertolt, and we have another item on the agenda.
Okay.
Minutes, and then we have another meeting.
Meeting, yeah.
We have another item on the agenda.
Yeah, mapping the entire process of evaluation, right? Okay.
So my suggestion is that we table the discussion about mapping. We don't need to resolve that before Friday.
Yes, we do. We have to do our final recommendation to the PMB in writing before Friday.
And we have.
We'll be done in 2 minutes.
Okay.
Okay. The first item: survey PNB LSB National Office, just like it says in the letter. Okay. There are no objections to that. Okay. I'm going to skip the second item for a moment, okay? The third item we have already done, discuss and evaluate as CFO for a short executive two-page summary that breaks down all these things. We have kind of done that already. Fourth, evaluate process to which the budget is created. That is very difficult to do. You know, that is ideal. In other words, I would say that we should be that should be part of the evaluation in the future, but in a short time frame, we should drop four. But we should drop four for this process, not for going forward. You know, and in the comment, you know, that issue will come out, the process to which the budget is created.